Gianna Taboni is a correspondent for Vice on HBO, and she's the only journalist to interview Scott Dozier before his planned execution. Gianna, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks, Tim.
To start with, what initially drew you to this story, and how did you go about getting access to Mr. Dozier?
My co-producer, Nicole Bezorgner, and I had been looking into this story that is really unfolding across the country, which has to do with the shortage of lethal injection drugs. You know, the death penalty is legal in more than 30 states, but many states don't have a way to actually execute these death row inmates. We saw Scott Dozier's name come up in some sort of news release, and so I just wrote him a letter last fall, 2017. He called me a couple of days later, and that's what started, about 10 months of talking to him 2 to 3 times a week.
What was your first impression of him, and has that changed at all over time?
You know, I think we all have our preconceived notions of what death row inmates are like. And for me, from the start, Scott sort of flips that on its head. For anyone who's talked to him, they know that he has very close relationships with his family and friends. He had a very sort of idyllic childhood. He's a kind, smart, funny person, and yet he was convicted of 2 brutal murders.
Has he expressed any concerns over the method of execution, that it's never been used before?
So that's a good question. There's a 3-drug combination that the state of Nevada has designed for his execution, which, as you said, has never been tested. The first one is midazolam. That's the sedative, which has been at the center of several botched executions across the country. Fentanyl, of course, the opioid that's caused overdose deaths across the country. And the third one is the paralytic. And the paralytic is what's been at the center of these legal battles that have lasted months. Scott, you know, his end goal here, as he continues to say, is, I'm not getting off that table on Wednesday night. And I said, are you concerned at all that the midazolam is going to cause you to struggle? And he goes, you know what? I almost expect it to. You know, and he said, I've come to terms with it. I've even told my family to expect that, to expect to see me gasping for air. And so that, to me, was sort of shocking that he has accepted that that could happen and still wants to move forward. The fentanyl, as he puts it, he's thrilled about. He said, you know, he was a drug dealer. He used to deal opioids. He has done opioids himself. He knows the effects that they'll have on his body, and he's thrilled about it. I mean, this is a drug that's designed to take pain away, to numb you from pain. So, you know, he's okay with that. And then the paralytics, you know, to him, there was the legal battle going back and forth, and he sort of put his hands up and said, you know, I understand the ethical debate here, but again, my goal is just to move forward with the execution. And so he's on board with that, too.
You spoke with him yesterday. Has anything about his demeanor changed as the execution date nears?
That's a great question. As soon as I walked into the room, I mean, this is the first time that I had met him face to face. And as we started talking, you know, I said to him, Scott, you seem different. Like, your inflections are different. Your voice is different. There's something different about you. And he said, yeah, I'm finally sort of processing that I'm going to be dead in 48 hours. And so he did seem different. He seemed reflective. He seemed more calm. He wasn't this sort of like fiery, passionate, sort of outraged person that he had been on the phone for the months prior.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks very much, Tim.